Big thanks to Sam Duncan for joining us in the studio. You can join us, of course, at any stage, 1300 736 736 on the phone, 0433 98 11 16 if you want to get involved in the text. Way Back Wednesday to come a little bit later on. In the full spirit of trade period and getting deals done, legendary footy administrator Ron Joseph, who was involved in getting Plugger to Sydney, Barassi to North Melbourne, and stopping the Kangaroos from going to the Gold Coast. He will join me a little bit later on. Tim Kelly will speak for the first time as a West Coast Eagles. You'll hear that too before the end of the show. Sri Lanka 5 for 135 in the Women's One Day International against Australia. They bowled beautifully. They maybe haven't got the reward from a wickets point of view, but they have certainly kept the runs down. It should be a fairly comfortable chase for them. Brendan Joyce joins me in studio, and you can send him a text on the Speckle text machine, 0433 98 11 16. A bit happening after week one of the NBL season. Joycey, good afternoon.
Yeah, g'day, Jack. Great to be here.
I was just talking to Sam before. We were sort of talking the nuts and bolts of sports media and whatnot, but this will really prick up your ears, I'd suggest, as well. A million people in America on Facebook Watch saw the debut of LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. What has he got, 50,000? 50,000 or so many million followers? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, a couple more than you and I.
but I'm not surprised. And I thought he played really well. I watched the game. Obviously, I have a little bit of interest in having coached the Hawks before. Mm. And they had their chances. They lost by 8. They didn't play that well as a team, but I thought he played really well for an 18-year-old, in his first
game. What do you want to see from him this year? Like, just picture that you were Matt Flynn, the coach of the Hawks at the moment. What are you trying to get out of him?
I liked what I saw. Now, I spoke with Matt. They got killed by Melbourne United, obviously destroyed preseason. I was there and watched that game. And so Matt was a little unsure about the whole thing. You know, it's obviously difficult, let's be honest, to bring in an 18-year-old with all the hype. You know, how many minutes is he going to play? Matt's responsibility, as in the coach, Matty Flynn, he's got to win games, and he's a rookie coach. So it's a bit of a balancing act. But I think when a player's unselfish, and I really mean this, he's unselfish. He has tremendous passing skills. I think it makes it a little bit easier because players love playing with players that are going to get him open to shoot the basketball. And he could blow by anybody off the dribble, but his passes is as good as I've ever seen, mate. It was Magic Johnson. You know, he's look away, you don't think he has the vision, and he just finds people. So I think that's going to get better. And the fact that he's so quick and he's long, he can get to the rim and score. Obviously, he didn't shoot well from the perimeter. He's got not the most textbook shot, but we have seen he can make really, really long-range threes, NBA threes, but pretty exciting. Defensively, had a number of steals. Probably played for the steal a little bit more. Matt would be talking to him about containing his play. But for an 18-year-old, that was as good a debut and as good a performance as up there with a lot of the guards.
And if you look at all of the draft and the people who follow the draft in the NBA, which is where LaMelo will be next year, that probably the biggest negative was his defensive side. Some have even suggested that he sort of picks and chooses when he plays defense. I didn't see that on Sunday. I saw a guy who, like you, was trying to pick the ball off at any opportunity.
Yeah, he reminds me of D-Mac defensively, Darryl McDonald. And if you watch D-Mac play, you think he was pretty laconic. And the moment you relax, you know, he'd steal the eyes out of your head, as my mother would say, without you seeing. Yeah. So, but what he's got to get better is making sure he's in a stance off the ball and he's not vulnerable and losing his player off the ball. But anything around, like he took the ball from a couple of players cleanly because of his length. And I think for everybody at home, don't forget that the NBA rules are different. So if you're athletic and quick, he's going to be even more dominant off the dribble with his penetration because players are going to be spaced a certain distance away from you. I didn't expect him to be this good, honestly.
Really?
No, I didn't. I thought, but I see what everybody's talking about and after one game. And if I'm Matt Flynn, though, I think he can't play Emmett Nahr and him together. Emmett Nahr, you know, struggles to shoot outside. And I think, you know, he's more of a point guard, but he's more of an A to B guy. And LaMelo's a creator. So I think he needs to play Aaron Brooks beside him.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
He's going to have shooters around him. Because he's a bit like a Ben Simmons, realistically. Mm-hmm. He's a penetrating creator, can slice anybody up off the dribble. So you just can't, I don't believe you can carry those two guys because you can cheat off them off the ball, right? So it can impact on your offense.
It does seem strange to not start Aaron Brooks as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, sometimes it could be about not upsetting a young guy and, you know, maybe I don't really know exactly, but, you know, there might be a message to say to Emmett, no, look, we've got LaMelo, he's only here for a year, but you're the guy, in the future and maybe trying to keep people happy, maybe, but he's got to win.
Yeah.
And people will be happy. There'll be still plenty of minutes for Emmett Nahr. You can slot in behind LaMelo and the rotations. But from a balance point of view, team point of view, you've got Brooks who can flat out shoot. You know, he didn't shoot as well, but he can score. And you've got Blanchfield who can catch a shoot. So you put them around LaMelo and even a David Anderson, they can all shoot the ball, spread the floor, and that makes him be more effective. So I think Brooks will be starting pretty quickly. Don't worry about that. I agree, you know, what you just said.
Coach's hat on for me, if you can, please. And this is for your old team. And you're Matt Flynn.
Yep.
He's genuinely got a roster of 12.
Yep.
How do you massage those minutes if you are the coach to keep everyone happy, to keep scouts happy? You want to see LaMelo. You know, you've got guys like Nahr and Gritter who have got overseas ambitions as well. Then you've got your imports who are here to play. How do you do that?
Well, I'm going to be brutal as a coach and have to be honest. First of all, you have to be fair dealing with players, like behind closed doors. The first thing I usually ask players, what do you do well? So you get them to realise, they'll tell you what they do well. Okay, where do you need to improve? And with that comes up a conversation about what you bring to the table. And even themselves, it opens the door now for you to actually establish a role. So I ask questions first rather than tell. But, you know, I can see, I know the strengths and weaknesses of these players. And as you say, in their own minds, they all want to play. And I think one of the problems we've got now, we've got four Americans, we've got three Americans, plus, you know, the new rule with the young kids, young Americans coming in. So that's four. And then you've got 12 players now. You know, when we had 12 players, we usually had with a 48-minute game. So this makes it even tougher for the coaches. So realistically, I think the other thing is Matt definitely over-substituted. I saw it with Cairns, with Mike Kelly.
Definitely.
You know, and you can only play eight or nine guys unless you're playing at a really high speed, up-tempo pressure, you're going to play eight or nine guys. And so that means he has to have a real honest sit down and say, this is how I see your role. Prove me differently at practice if you're going to play more. When you get in the games and get your opportunity, if you're getting it done, you'll stay out there. But realistically, there's three guys there that are going to have to bite their time away if he's feeding them about winning games.
Joycey, we've got one of your favourites in the NBL, Alex Pledger, joining us very, very shortly. Just before I get there, I want to ask you about the Wildcats and Tirico White. I can think of a conversation about halfway through the year that I was having with a lot of different people in Perth and outside of Perth who thought that Tirico White may have been a bit of a dud as an import, and some may thought he may not even last the season. He had a whale of a final series for Perth, MVP of their finals, and picked up from where he left off in round one. Is that just confidence?
Yeah, it's confidence, but again, knowing what you do well. And you made me think back. Do you remember the game? They dropped six in a row, I think it was, and Homicide was saying Trevor should be sacked.
That's right.
As he does.
Still don't think he can go back to Perth on the side.
So, you know, but they should get another import. And I still remember Trevor Gleeson in that timeout watching that game saying, mate, I need you to step up now. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
And he hit those big shots. Yeah. They won and they have a look back. I reckon that was the key game. But Tirico's been renowned as a great shooter, solid defender, high IQ. So he's not a creator off the dribble, but that's what Perth needed. So not everybody does everything well. But it's a matter of fitting them in to that situation and then them having the confidence, but making sure he gets shots. And my God, didn't he have a great final series, as you just said. He just blew everybody away.
And then that clutch three late against Melbourne on Saturday. Goodness me.
Yeah, magnificent.
Very special play. You can send through your text to Joycey, 0433 98 11 16. A couple of people just pointing out to you that Ben Simmons has won from one today from outside the arc.
He doesn't need to shoot the three. Everyone keeps going on about that. He will shoot the three, but he's a 6'10" point guard.
I've got a special present for Brendan today. One of his favourites in the NBL, Alex Pledger.
Big Pledge.
From the South, from the Melbourne United, I should say. Go on, Tommy will kill me. He'll join me next. Nice to have you with me. Nice to have Brendan Joyce in the studio as well, part of our United Live coverage. We'll have a bit of a look at the rest of the NBL round, and Joycey will award his Giant Performer of the Week. We've just been tagged in something on Twitter. Joycey, New Zealand in action today against Memphis. Tom Abercrombie, check it out online. We'll put it up on our Twitter feed as well, at SEN Afternoons. Tom Abercrombie from the New Zealand Breakers has just put someone on a poster.
Yeah, he's always been athletic. We just haven't seen it for the last year or two. Maybe he's had a good preseason. He's got the fresh legs. But one of the things you could count on with Thomas was the fact that he is a great athlete. Yeah. And he certainly buried that one. I'm just looking at it again.
It is.
All over the guy's forehead.
One hell of a dunk. So I did say today that if you came in that we'd have a very special present for you. The present that we have for you is Alex Pledger from Melbourne United, because we've been calling United games together, you and I, for 2 years now, and you love every time that this man gets on the court. You love the role he plays. So we thought that we would deliver him to you as an early Christmas present. Pledge, good afternoon.
How's it?
G'day, Pledge. How's it going? It's Brendan here, mate. Brendan Joyce and Jack Everett. He sounds a bit sleepy, mate. He might be.
Now, I'm not sure if you're aware here, Alex, because you're obviously out on the court at the moment, but the man sitting next to me in the studio is an NBL Coach of the Year, knows what it takes to win a title. You're one of his favourite players.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that. So I guess it's always nice to hear stuff like that.
Well, one of the reasons, Pledge, I think you bring a lot to the table. You always play well defensively. You're a high IQ guy. You can knock down shots. And you finish pretty well underneath. And the other thing is that people at home need to understand that I believe you're actually a starter in this league, and it's so tough to get great players to accept a role off the bench to build your depth, and because that's what wins championships. When you've got quality players like yourself, you know, in that sixth or seventh man role, so if someone's injured or someone's in foul trouble. And the tough part is not just from a playing point of view, it's having the intelligence to understand the role, but also the ability to accept the role without sulking or being upset, so you're ready to go. So don't think that goes without, you know, admiration from some people. So, and I think you play the role really well for Melbourne United.
Oh, cheers. Yeah, I think a pretty big part of that is obviously in New Zealand had some success pretty early on in my career in terms of being on good teams and winning. And so I guess just basically from day one, I was always in an environment where that was kind of preached and I guess winning championships is the ultimate. I've never wanted to be known as like a put up big numbers on a bad team guy or anything like that. And there's a lot of words you can use to describe me, but egotistical definitely isn't one of them. And I guess just doing whatever's required of me to help the team be as good as possible. That's what I'm going to do.
Alex, take us through round one, if you can. Take us through what you've had a chance, obviously, to sit down with Dean and go through some of the footage. What did you see?
We've obviously had a pretty disrupted preseason with two coaches and five players away. With the national team duties and then losing David Barlow and Casey Prather basically on the eve of the season. Obviously isn't ideal preparation going into a new season, but, you know, we were obviously disappointed. You know, both of those games were very winnable. We felt a lot of it was our own mistakes, things that I haven't been with the team during the entire preseason, but from what I could gather, our Achilles heel at the moment is giving teams second opportunities, and both of those things kind of reared their heads a little bit at various times throughout both games. And when you lose a game by one and you lose a game by three, those couple of extra positions that you give another team, as it showed over the weekend, can really cost you. You know, we've got, I guess you could pull out a few excuses when it comes to a disrupted preseason and a couple of guys being out, but unfortunately, moral victories don't count as ticks in the win column. So, we're definitely not hitting the panic button, but we're obviously disappointed that we kind of felt like we let both of those games slip through our fingers.
Well, pretty tough ask. You know, with Barlow, I envisage he would start in the four and Casey Prather in the three. So that's two starters out. And then you get Chris out as well for the Perth
course,
game. So all in all, when you reflect on it, it's a pretty good effort, but you definitely had your chances. What about Mullo and Long? I mean, how long do you think that's going to take to really fit in and develop the chemistry with the rest of the guys such as yourself? I mean, Casey's been played with you before. I know he was away for a year, but he has an understanding and feel for the teammates that are there and also the coaching staff. But they're your two new guys. And sometimes people just think, oh, they're two great players and they're just going to fit in. But it doesn't always work like that.
I don't think it'll take too long. You know, both of those guys have made, excellent strides in regards to that in the time, the short time that I've been back from the Tall Blacks trip. Obviously last season, they were both guys who were heavily relied on for their respective teams in terms of scoring the ball. And, with the wealth of talent that we have on this team, we don't necessarily rely on them to, score 20 to 25 a game like their teams did last year. So I think it's just, finding a balance with those two guys where they can do what they do best, but also, keeping the other guys involved.
Alex, thanks for chatting to us this afternoon. It's a very exciting couple of weeks that you and United have got heading overseas and then back here for round three. So good luck and thanks for joining us.
Cheers. Thank you.
Good luck, Pledge.
Alex Pledger from Melbourne United will come back and get Joycey's Giant Performer of the Week after this.
Pino, two left. He's going to have to put it up. One left. Mitch Creed, put it up, Mitch. Wow! That is sensational.
A local kick. The ball got Michaelis. Ball with the steal and the jam.
Golding for three. Big rebound. What about that for Sean Long? How's the wow factor of Sean Long? Back to Cotton. Back to Kay. To Wine. What a game we've got. How's the wow factor of this incredible NBL season?
It was a bit of wow factor. The Piper, that one rolling out over the weekend. Joycey, while we're on a roll, why don't you tell us our Giant Performer of the Week for Giant Bicycles, the new 2020 models are available now. Who grabbed your attention?
All right, special mention. You and I were there. Pretty much a game winner, but not the game winner. Mitch Creek, that three hit to just keep Melbourne United at bay. He's there, but can't go past Tarico White, mate. Yeah. Game winner behind the whole game.
Yep.
Big time shot, as we saw in the playoffs. He just stepped up and delivered. Tarico White.
Question coming through off the text before I let you go as well from a couple of Phoenix fans, a couple of different numbers. I'm worried about the Phoenix center position and their import, Keith Benson. It's only one game. What did you see?
Well, I'm not coaching, so I can be really honest, and I have no agenda. I agree with them.
Isn't it easy when you're not coaching?
It is easy, and you have to be positive and supportive. I don't know how many games I'll give him, but he's not to this level, and if they're serious about winning the championship, I would predict that he'll be replaced.
Yeah, the first signs weren't
that bad.
Good.
Look good. I'm going to be honest. I agree with those guys. They're on the money straight away.
Giant Bicycles, the new 2020 models available now from the world's biggest bike brand. No United game this weekend. They're in America for the games against the NBA team. So we'll see you next week, and we'll hear from you next weekend as well. They take on Perth in their next home game.
Oh, that'll be a beauty, won't it?
Be a massive, massive game. Joycey, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Jack.
Brendan Joyce is on the way out. Ron Joseph will join me. And a little bit later on the show as well, Tim Kelly speaks for the first time as a West Coast Eagle. We'll have that for you as well. Sri Lanka 6 for 163 after 44 overs in the Women's One Day International.